हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so now Sakriya Sardipika, then we have in the appendices. So now in appendix two, the common rites. So these are the ones, all the rites that are done. Common rites, that means they're not specifically unique to a particular samskar, but they're general purificatory rites and invocations and elements to make things auspicious that can, that are used, you know, are used or can be used in any of the samskars. Like that. Some of them are simple, so there might be more or less of it. The more elaborate, then generally do more. But in any case, they're common that they would be something that we've done in the morning, like when you do your morning worship and things. So first thing that those would be done, so that that frees the latter part of the day for doing whatever is the specific samskar rite. Because then you're always going to have the aspect of that you want to start at an auspicious time, but you also, you know, many times want to perform the, you know, the main functions of the samskar also at an auspicious time. Though technically, if you start an auspicious time, even if it, you know, it continues and the time isn't as ideal, it's still considered giving the effect of the auspicious time. So, because you have these two things, when do you start? Do you start at that time, or do you do the main element at that time, or things like that? Is by doing the common rites in the morning, then that frees up that if you have a specific muhurta or is a good time, then you just start the main samskar at that time. And so then you don't have to worry that things are being done at the auspicious time or not, or things like that. It also just makes it easier because in the morning it's easier to do all these technical things than whoever's doing them. Generally, they'll be on their own or with a few other persons if it's a bigger, but who are basically the priests or the yajaman. And then when you're doing the samskar, then you'll have all the different general, you know, whoever is coming, all the invited devotees, you know, senior devotees or relatives and friends or like this, associates. Then they come, and so all the technical points may not be there, and not, you know, so they're more comfortable just seeing the thing, the actual thing happening, rather than these preliminary rites, which they may find okay or may not, depending upon how they're done or who's doing them. Okay, so the common rites. The night before the samskar, one begins with the establishment of the Gata, Vishnu Puja, and Adivas. The next morning, one should recite the Swastivachana, Sankalpa, establish the God, worship Lord Vishnu, worship the Parampara Acharya, Saptika Vridhi Shraddha, and perform Chegiraj Puja Vasudhara. Right? So if you're doing this Adivasa, there's the bigger. If not, then these things, the God, Vishnu Puja, Adivasa, that can all be done in the morning because you see the Vishnu Puja at night and the Vishnu Puja at the morning, and you're establishing the God in the morning because the ghats, they stay over, they stay by, but they go by the morning. So they'll stay up to the point where, you know, sun goes down and it gets to the point where it's time to go to sleep, they leave. So you have to do again. So you see here, establishing the ghat, Vishnu Puja, and Adivas, that if you're going to do an Adivas for it, then you would do this all the night before. If there's no Adivas, then the ghat and Vishnu Puja can be done in the morning because that's part of the thing. You do establish the ghat, worship Vishnu, just that you, beforehand you have the Swastivachana and Sankalpa. Does that make sense? So you have, depending if it's a smaller thing like that, if you're doing a bigger thing like the wedding, definitely anything that's going to, you know, have a bigger group and all that, or might be having people already there. You know, like for a wedding, people come beforehand. So then you have all, start having rituals before. But on some of the other elements, like if you're doing anaprasana and that, no, everyone's going to come just for the anaprasana. So then you do just the things in the morning. If you yourself want to do these things in the night, you know, just for yourself and maybe immediate family or something like that, you can always do. In other words, the common rites, there's no problem in invoking auspiciousness and expanding it. But, you know, you make it practical for what works for your situation and what you can do. Okay, so then first, swasti vachana, invoking auspiciousness. So this is the one where you throw the akshata, the rice, three times, invoking auspiciousness. So this is the punantumam. May the devotees purify me. May they give me intelligence. May they purify all living entities. May Jata Veda Agni purify me. So we're asking blessings from the devotees that I may be purified, I may get the intelligence. Because even if you're purified, if you don't have the intelligence, how do you know what to do? But even if it's not an intellectual intelligence, it's a practical intelligence. The point is that you can apply yourself into the Krishna consciousness that comes from the purity. And that may Jata Veda set through performance of the sacrifice, I also be purified. Then they chant, Asrikarmana Punyaham Bhavantu Bhavantu. Dear Brahmanas, please bless this ceremony as a pious one. It may be a pious ceremony. It's not just a ceremony like that or just something like that, a political or some economic. No, but it's actually a pious one. At least three other Brahmins throw akshata in the air three times while chanting. Right? So when you have three Brahmins together chanting and they throw, then you do this whole thing like this. As we see, as we finish that, otherwise, then if it's just if there's less than that, then you can just chant. We'll see the main prayer at the end, Swastino Govindaha, like that. So then, okay, then they throw the akshata three times while chanting. Om Punyaham, Om Punyaham, Om Punyaham, may it be auspicious. Right? So in other words, one saying, may it be, dear Brahmins, please bless this ceremony as a pious one. Right? And so then they bless it, may it be auspicious. That's why you have the three Brahmins. Right? It means it can be, you know, the one chanting and then three others, you know, like that. So that's what it's recommending here. The Brahmanas chant together, the Utgat Eva. O bird, you sing like the Udgatari priest who chants the Sama. You chant like the Brahmana at the sacrifice, like a horse approaching a mare. Please loudly proclaim good fortune for us in every direction. Proclaim prosperity for us in every direction. Right? So we see here chanting the Sama Veda. So Sama Veda, Krishna says of all the Vedas, he's the Sama. So that's considered, you know, the best of the Vedas, of the chanting. It's just like, you know, of all the different things, the Hare Krishna mantra is the best. So here amongst the Vedas, the Sama Veda is the best. And you chant like a Brahmana, like the Brahma at the sacrifice. So the Brahma at the sacrifice is the one who's overseeing the whole thing. So he knows it the best. So he's like the Udgata priest who chants the Sama Veda. So all the chanting is with him. Then the Brahma at the sacrifice, that it's everything's very pukka and proper and everything's balanced very nicely like that. Then like the horse approaching a mare. So the horse is very confident, very determined, very focused. There's no distraction. He's not thinking, you know, did I leave the gas on at home? What time was the dentist appointment for the kids? You know, none of these things are distracting. One's very focused. You know, that's what Yudhishthira Maharaj says, so that for success, you have to have focus, endeavor, and dependence on the Supreme. So that focus then is going to be that you understand what's the Sambandha, what's the Abhideya, and what's the Prayojana. You understand these things. So the Prajumna, Shankarshan, and Aniruddha aspects, you understand properly. Therefore, your focus, then you can apply yourself. Please loudly proclaim good fortune for us in every direction, proclaim prosperity for us in every direction. Right, so the good fortune and prosperity is going to be that which is connected to the Supreme, like that. Like we see here is that you sing like the Udgata priest who chants the Sama. It doesn't say you sing like a, you know, 50 cents or something like that. You know, he says that you sing like the Sama Veda. Right? That makes sense? Yeah. The Brahma, then one Brahman chants, Om Asya Karmana Swasti Bhavanto Bhavantu Ayushmate Swasti. Oh, dear Brahmanas, speak auspiciously of this activity. Let there be auspiciousness. The other Brahmins throw akshata in the air three times while chanting, Om Swasti, Om Swasti, Om Swasti. let there be auspiciousness. Then together they chant swasti na indro vidrashtavaha. Yeah. May Indra, who hears much praise, give us auspiciousness. May the sun god, who knows all things, give us auspiciousness. May Garuda, with unblemished weapons, give us auspiciousness. May Brihaspati give us auspiciousness. Right, so Indra hears much praise because he's glorious. He's managing the whole universe. Right, so we see that, you know, nowadays, if anyone's not careful, one falls into the element of the of management, the managers, the, you know, the most important element. And so amongst the those who are administrating, someone who practically can do it and can effectively do, yes, that is praiseworthy. But that must be in line with, of course, then the Brahmanas. Like you see here, the Brahmanas are proclaiming this. So then we're saying here is that may everything go nicely, because it means the yajna goes nicely, it's managed nicely, everything goes smoothly. So yes, there is the element of management there, but it's based on the Brahminical standard. And that way, then we see that the glory of management comes out, or we see the glory of economics, or the glory of, you know, particular, you know, skills and all that. They become glorious when they're all in line with and supportive of then, you know, what the, you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is saying. So then may Indra, who's doing everything, may it all comes nice, so that he gives auspicious, everything may go smoothly. May the sun god, who knows all things, give us auspicious. May we, you know, with the proper intelligence and clarity like that, be able to see, and that clarity that we know from the Kavya then comes from Prashada, which means by the Lord's mercy, that we may, you know, everything's auspicious because we see things appropriately how they should be done. May Garuda, with unblemished weapons, give us auspiciousness, because Garuda, whatever he undertakes, it always works. He's never defeated in battle. That's the one thing. Indra sometimes is, sometimes not, but Garuda is never defeated in battle. So whatever he does, and he has the carry of Vishnu, is only to please Vishnu. So he's always victorious, and it's only for Vishnu. So like that, so may give us auspicious, unblemished weapons. And then we see here, as we saw before, the Ayudha, the Yajna Ayudha, then is going to be the weapons of the sacrifice, which is the weapons of the Brahman. Here are the weapons of the sacrifice. The weapons of the sacrifice are the weapons of the Brahmins. They're not different. Like we saw, is that the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they all ran after a Yajna, because they all wanted to be the Lord of the Yajna, because whoever controls the Yajna, that's all auspiciousness, all, you know, all the gain and safety is coming from that, all the upliftment of consciousness. So each one wants to control it. But we see it's when they ran after it, then the Yajna was more scared by the Kshatriyas, because, you know, their weapons aren't its weapons. But then the Brahmins, their weapons were the weapons of the Yajna. And so then the Yajna then stopped running, and then, you know, how you say, took shelter of the care of the Brahman. So the Yajna is the superior element, but it takes shelter of that they are performing it. In other words, the principle is the superior, but then you practically apply it. Then you take that element that you are willing to be in cooperation with them. Right? So unblemished here is then everything is perfect. It's all night. There's not some other inappropriate element to it, and may Brihaspati give us auspiciousness. So Brihaspati is then the guru, the demigods. So the demigods then are all servants of the Lord, doing everything. It means they're in the positions to do those things for the Lord, and so therefore, as being guided by Brihaspati, everything is being done appropriately for the Lord's pleasure. One Brahman chants, "Oh dear Brahmins, please let this activity be prosperous." Like, "Oh, Om Asya Karmano Ridhim Bhavanto Bhuvantu." The other Brahmins throw akshata in the air three times while chanting, "Om Ridhyatam, Om Ridhyatam, Om Ridhyatam." May you be prosperous. Right? So, this activity is prosperous. So these Brahmins doing it is prosperous. So it actually, everything comes out prosperous. You know, everything goes smoothly and nicely and all that. You get results that is there. You know, the Lord is satisfied, the devotees are satisfied, the general public is satisfied, you know, all living entities become satisfied. So everything becomes auspicious by this, right? Together, then they chant the Ridyamastomam. May we increase our fame. May we offer you food. Please come here in your chariot for worship and accept the sweet food prepared from cow's milk. Bhutamsha has fulfilled the desire of the learned. Like that. Okay, so So may we increase our fame. So then one is famous for being expert in something or good at something. So this fame is we may be famous in the performance of our duties, not for the social status of fame, but the point is if they're famous means you're doing something proper, right? In this case, the Brahmins, they're doing their duties properly. Everything's going nicely. The results are there. People are satisfied. People are advancing in Krishna consciousness. So if that fame comes from that, then that's from the quality of devotee. Devotee is naturally famous. It's one of the 26 qualities of the devotee because they are devoted to the Lord. They are, you know, situated, affixed in service to the Lord. So that's the point. May we offer you food, you know, may we be qualified that we can do everything in a way that we offer you food and you'll be satisfied with that food because of our, you know, our devotion and our attention to the details to do it nicely for the Lord's satisfaction. Please come here in your chariot for worship and accept the sweet food prepared from cow's milk, right? So that the Lord will come and accept, and it says from cow's milk, right? The sweet food prepared from cow's milk. We're going to have the one is the sweets itself. You know, will be there, but at the same time, as we see in the Vedic context, everything is done with cow's milk, right? It's always done with dairy. So even you have vegetables, there's dairy, right? The ghee, or there's cream, or there's yogurt, or something. You have the grains, you're going to put ghee, you know, or butter, or something. If you have fruits, then it's also going to be the same. It's also going to have those elements. You eat it with the ghee, or eat it with butter. You know, these kind of elements. And then you have sweets, and that's always goes with the milk, right? The dairy products goes with the sweets, or it goes with these things. And so all the different five kinds of ingredients that are considered for human food, then they always are to go with cow's milk. So this idea, this modern idea that the vegan and all that, we don't get involved with this. This is not human. It means, yes, it may be a nice diet. There are plenty of animals who eat, who are, don't eat, you know, they eat vegetables and all that, but don't even take milk. You know, maybe as a baby, but as they grow up, they don't take milk. So that's uniqueness of the humans as they take, it's not just for nourishment as a baby to come to, you know, their stableness in their life, but it's also you're trying to develop the finer brain tissues. So when people are looking at, oh, we don't take milk because of this, it simply becomes a political stand. It's not about, well, what about improving the finer brain tissues? That's necessary. You can say as well, it's not good quality milk, but then are they drinking good quality water, breathing good quality air, or living in good quality space? In other words, everything's contaminated. It's Kali Yuga. So therefore, you still use it. Prabhupada knew these things. The milk is not that ideal. The sugar is not ideal, but still he'd use it because it's required. You know, sugar is one of the five elements that's required for human life. You know, their nourishment. So all these different elements are there. So we see here is that please come here in your chariot for worship and accept the sweet food prepared from cow's milk. It's also mentioned in the foods and mode of goodness, and it's always sweet. It's not bitter. So even you're cooking bitter things, you cook it properly, there's a sweetness to it. Even shukta or karela, chachuri, you know, just it has a particular sweetness to it. The bitter element is there, but it's very mellow and balanced, and it has that sweet element in there because of the ghee and how it's cooked properly. So also if you say the sweet food means it's all cooked properly. If it's not cooked properly, it has that bitter edge to it or something. And so there's something, you know, rajasic or tamasic about it. The food and goodness then is always going to have dairy products in it because it's going to be unctuous, and you can't get unctuousness without that. You know, means the oil is not considered something that you use for the sacrifice. If you don't have dairy and all that, okay, then you can use oil, but it's never preferred. You know, it's not considered proper for humans. Bhutamsha has fulfilled the desires of the learned. I'm not sure who, do anyone here know who Bhutamsha is? Bhutamsha. Sorry?
No, all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have the Buddha. You can meaning Buddhas means the living entities. You could also meaning the Buddhas, all the elements that are there, and then the aspect of the Amsha. Either, you know, is that he's would have some element or control of that. So whether that's the elements of the Lord, where the Lord as Tamasi is controlling all the elements that are there, or as Narayana, he's controlling all the living entities like that. But since we see it's for the Lord, then we're going to look at it from that aspect. Okay. Then they chant the Swastino Govindaha. Swastino Achutanantau. May Lord Govinda. So this would be the part is if you don't have all the other Brahmins, and you're doing Swasti Vachana, you're alone, then you just start here with Swasti no Govinda. Right? The other one is then if you have the four Brahmins, then you can do it. Okay.
Sorry. This is Madhugo Shvantara Bhutamsha. Means, and who is the Antara of all the Bhutamshas?
Ah, okay.
The Paramatma.
Oh, yes. Goshtantara. Yeah, because that's the thing is that when you're looking at the elements of, this is the fun part if you appreciate, you know, it's from that, it's coming from, again, from the aspect of the Kavya, then you have the aspect of Anvaya. So the Anvaya is then, you know, it's not just what the translation of the word is, but it's how the word is connecting, how it's expanding from this. So then you have Goshvantara, that you can have that the food is prepared from cow's milk, but you can also have the Goshta Antara, meaning that the inner, you know, who is there in the Bhutamsha, who's there in the cow, who's, you know, who's the Lord of the living entities. So you can get multiple meanings out of one word, and they're not contradictory. Because you're seeing in the context of the whole rest of the verse, that verse what's before and afterwards. So that's one thing that many times is not appreciated or understood by those who simply know grammar. And then, or at least some degree of it, and then they translate. Because knowing grammar doesn't mean you actually know what the verse says. You may understand what grammatical elements are being used, but until you actually understand what the verse is meaning from the philosophy, and from those elements of Kavya, then you don't actually fully understand the grammar. Like I think it was Srila Prabhupada had pointed out, I think it was in his verse, the pranam. Namaste Saraswati Deve. I think he had Devam. Gaudavani Pracharvane. Because of the way how you're using it. So then some of our devotees, when they learn a little bit of grammar, as my mother would say, you know, only know enough to be dangerous, right? And so they know a little bit, so they say in their limited understanding, oh, it applies like this, so Prabhupada's grammar is wrong here. But Prabhupada pointed out, it could be, you know, you could use it in the dative, you could use it, and then they gave another case. I don't remember the point, but they were fixed, oh, it's got to be like this, so okay, we can use it like that, because it means both. But because of their lack of proper understanding, they only took it in the one. They could only see it in the one. Well, probably could see it in both aspects. Because you see many also of the different cases and that is there, some of them have exactly the same ending. But they wanted to change it to a different one, like this. So yes, you do get there, and it's not wrong. So yeah, it works fine. But the thing is you get those things because they don't fully understand what is there. They take it that the grammar is supreme. Well, if your grammar is right, then it's right. No, it's only if the philosophy is right. So that means grammar, vocabulary, everything else has to then support the actual meaning, the direct meaning. So that's the that element comes up. So in here is that he gets both of those. Sweet fruit prepared from cow's milk, and at the same time, it also means the Paramatma who's living in the hearts of all living entities. Like that. Yes? No? Pretty good?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So that's why it's that for us is that aspect becomes even more important than just the grammar. Because the grammarians, that's what you see, grammarians, the academics, these are persons who are those too much interested in liberation or elevation of the heavenly planets, the smartas. They get distracted that they overbalance something and put an emphasis in a way and take it away or reduce the importance on that it has to be centered around the Lord. So since all these verses come from the Lord's breathing, they're coming from the Lord. So they're all going to be indicating the Lord, whether, you know, more directly or in a more subtle way, in a more indirect way, but they're always going to have a direct meaning. It's just a matter of the aspect of being, what do you call that? Obscure meanings. So the Vedas especially use obscure meanings. Classical uses generally tends to use a little bit more, less obscure, but you can also use for poetics using obscure meanings. You know, like in the Bhagavatam, you have that verse where it's talking about the village lion. And so it's meaning the local street dogs. Because when something comes into town that doesn't fit into normalcy, they start barking. You know, just like the lion, he protects the area and he roars, you know, for his greatness. So the village lion is the dog. So it's an obscure word, but it's used poetically. Like that. And so then the Vedas, then they use all these obscure words. So it has the poetics and all that, but it has that, you know, the aspect of it carries the emotional, but it also carries that intellectual aspect. Okay. Chan Swastino Govindaha Swastino Achyuta Nantao. May Lord Govinda, Achyuta, Ananta Sesh, Vasudev, and Lord Vishnu bestow auspiciousness upon us. Right, so Govinda means, you know, controlling the senses, controlling the cows, you know, who then is giving pleasure to, like that. So then everything works out, that the senses are being engaged nicely in the Lord's service. Everything's working nicely, so you get all the nice results. Achyuta, that it is infallible, that it's always connected to the Lord, because if it's not connected to the Lord, it's fallible. It's Achyuta. But this is Achyuta, means it's always connected to the Lord. Ananta Sesh, because he's the one who supports everything. He's the one, he's also the basis for everything that's there, the laws that govern everything. So then the proper performance of the proper ingredients or the proper rituals, proper understandings and all that is there. Also the knowledge in that. Vasudeva, then everything centered around Vasudeva, you know, Vasudeva paroga dharmo, Vasudeva paragatihi. That everything is seen in the context of the Lord and Lord Vishnu. He's the maintainer of everything. He's the essence of everything. He's how everything's being run. May they bestow auspiciousness upon us. May Nar Narayan, Padmanabha, Purushottama, and Purushottama bestow auspiciousness upon us. So Nar Narayana, the Rishi, then they are the Lord of the Bhagavatam. And, you know, seeing that everything's going very nicely, like that Padmanabha, then from him is coming the lotus on which Brahma and the whole creation is then established. And so then everything is seen in line with the Lord. And Purushottama, he's the supreme person, the supreme being that you always see everything. So you have, you have better, you have good, you have better, and you have best. Right? So you have the Purusha, Purusha Tara, better, and Purushottama, the best. Right? You're always going to have these things. So he's the best of all living entities. So even the Purushottama is beyond, because I think there's the different, Purusha Tara. Yeah, like there's something there. There's some technical point. But the point is, he's the best of all living entities. And so then he being the position, you know, that everything's coming from him, everything's about him, and he's the best. So may he bestow auspiciousness. May Vishwakshena, the Lord of the universe, Hrishikesha and Lord Hari bestow auspiciousness upon us. Vishwakshena, then you see, is that he's the one that is removing all obstacles, making sure everything works very nicely. Like that, he also protects the whole universe. Like that, because Vishwakshena, then he has the aspect of, you have both the aspects of the auspiciousness and the protection from anything that's improper. Like that, Hrishikesha, that the senses are always, that the Lord of the senses, that they may always be engaged in his service, so that the control, Lord Hari, he gives unlimited, can take unlimitedly. And so then we may, you know, take all the, how you say, what's inauspicious away, you know, the tendencies away from bhakti and give what's everything established in bhakti. That may Garuda and the son of Anjana, who is the great devotee of Lord Rama, Hanuman, bestow auspiciousness upon us, right? So Garuda and Hanuman, then they're always the associates of the Lord, right? They're always there. And they always give that, you know, they're always part of the pastime. So Garuda, as we saw, as he destroys everything, he's always victorious. And Hanuman is always, all, because of his, known as great devotion, is always auspicious, and always, victorious. So then, as following the devotees of the Lord, may everything be auspicious. Sri Krishna, who is like a transcendental cloud full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and who is the Lord of all the demigods, I missed a sentence. May the great and only Lord of auspiciousness, Sri Krishna, right? So the great and only Lord. So he's actually the Lord. All others are his expansions. So that degree of auspiciousness is depending upon how much potency they're manifesting as expanding from Krishna, right? So may the great and only Lord of auspiciousness, Sri Krishna, who's like a transcendental cloud full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and who is the Lord of all the demigods, bestow upon us all prosperity and auspiciousness. So that's from Krishna Upanishad. Right. So because the whole point is, we want auspiciousness to come to Krishna. We're not interested just to be here or be nice or go somewhere else. The Brahmanas throw the remainder of the akshata, right? So when you throw that, it's kind of thrown slightly behind your head. So you just throw it above like this. And so when you spin it like that, it'll go above and fall just behind you. Don't throw it too far, because if there's others behind you, like that. So it falls like that. The Mangalacharan or prayers may be recited at this point. So then there was the Mangalacharan that was there that you saw in the other places that was there in the beginning. So that line of mantras then could be chanted, or, you know, the ones that Srila Prabhupada gave. So then this would be the natural time for them. Then after that, sankalpa, fixing one's mind with determination for the performance of an activity. Sankalpa should be performed using a small copper vessel. Silver, stone, clay, conch, or bell metal should not be used. Okay. Nor should sankalpa be performed using only the hands, right, for this kind of thing, because, yeah. Once you fill the pot with water, so here's these others. So copper, of all the things one can say is, oh no, but we have silver, stone, or this and that. But the point is that copper is considered, water from copper is considered the best in doing puja, even better than from silver or from gold. It's only to make something nice for the Lord we do that. But the pots that hold water like that, the main thing for that, then the best is copper. Then from that, if you pour it into a silver or gold or a conch or that and offer, that's another thing. But here it's just saying a small copper vessel is used. One should fill the pot with water and add sesame, three blades of kusa with tips intact, flowers, and haritaki or banana. One should chant the sankalpa, so Om Vishnu, Om Tat Sat, then Adya, then in this Mad Paksha Titao Chuta Gotra, like this, and then name of sponsor, Dasa. Then name of the function, Sri Krishna Prityartam. Bhagavad Archanam, Vastudhara Sambhatam, like this. So it must give the, yes, it gives me the other page. But interesting here, Chuta Gotra, mentions that, because remember before the discussion, oh no, no one else can use it except the sannyasis. No, it's the standard thing. Everyone else uses it and immediately forgets. Sannyasi is using it, and then he's supposed to act in that. He's supposed to give that. It's one of his determinations. Here, it's a sankalpa for that vrata, but after that, I may not be. But the sannyasi, no, his lifestyle is supposed to be according to that. So then here we have, at the beginning of the ceremony to please Krishna, I will perform this shraddha, beginning with worship, being the devotees, worship of Uparichara Vasu, and chanting the Ayusha Shukta. All right, so Uparichara Vasu, then is, it's mentioned, I think, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, or maybe Chaitanya Bhagavat, or someplace that, I think it's mentioned, Lord Chaitanya mentioned, or one of the Acharyas mentioned, that in the history, there's considered three persons who are the most magnanimous. Like that. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu is the, you know, the topmost of all the three. Then the other is Vasudev Dutta, right? He played to Lord Chaitanya that you, give me all the sin of all the living entities in the universe, take everybody else back to Godhead, and I'll stay here and suffer the results of everyone's karma so they can all go back to Godhead. And Uparichara Vasu, like that. He's one great king in the line. You see him mentioned in the opening of the Mahabharata when they're showing the history coming down to the Pandavas, right? Because the Mahabharata is a story about the Pandavas, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj. Mahabharata is about Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, and Ramayana is about Lord Ramachandra and then his, you know, associates, his brothers and that. So then it gives that history. So Uparichara Vasu, then he was a great king. He, you know, did things for the demigods and everything, but he was very, very kind to all the living entities. You know, as a king, he was very exceptional. So then, why he's called Uparichara Vasu is that having pleased the demigods with his service and his sacrifice and everything, they gave him a crystal chariot to ride in. You know, so these heavenly chariots, they're controlled by mantra. So you don't need horses or anything like that. And so then he had this chariot, but it's crystal, so you can see through it. It's like, you know, it's like glass. And because he was always riding around in that, whenever people would see him, they'd see him moving around in that. So the, you know, populace would see him, he'd be moving in that. You know, in his palace, he wouldn't be. But if he was out, he was always going in that, and going where he was going, he'd go by that rather than a chariot with horses. So he was called Uparichara, means Upari, means other than being up. You don't see him other than being in the air. Like that. And Ayusha Shukta, I'm not sure what the Ayusha is. Someone was talking about it the other day. You, anybody knows?
No, not really.
Because Ayusha, I don't remember if it's about just this, you know, getting rid of being victorious or, you know, healthy or something like that. Okay. One should then...
I think it relates to health.
Health, okay. But there's also Ayusha and there's Ayushman, you know, one of the great kings in the Bhagavatam. I think, yeah, but it could be that. But it also could be victorious over other things, therefore you're healthy, you know. So in any case, it's something. Okay. One should then throw some of the water in the northeast direction, pour the rest of the water on the ground or into the Visarjaniya Patra placed on the floor, turn the vessel upside down and place Gandha and Pushpa on top of it, right? So taking some of the water, pouring a little bit out, throwing it that, what is it, northeast direction, right? Because everything, you know, is starting around from there. And then after that, pour the rest of it out You know, if you're on ground or on cow dung fly, they can pour and it'll be soaked into the ground. You can pour that. Otherwise, you put some variety of Visarginia, but the more the flat ones, not the tall ones. You know, the taller ones, those are for when you're just doing the, but the wider ones that are used generally like for bathing the deities, those are also that same shape so it doesn't splash. You pour it into there, then put the pot upside down on the ground, and then put Ganda and Pushpa on the top. Then recite Sama Vedya, Sankalpa Shukta. The Lord, the ocean of wealth, desires perfect oblations from you. Call him and make the oblations, increase them. The Lord notices them. May there be success of this vow. Sama Vedika Sankalpa. So that means they must also have a saman for that. The Lord, the ocean of wealth, right, desires perfect oblations from you. Perfect means it's done in devotion. And then according to your position and all that and your ability, then you do it to the best you can. So that would be perfect oblations means it's being done to the best you can with devotion to the Lord. Call him, make the oblations, increase them. So whatever you're doing, you're always doing and you're always increasing your devotion to the Lord, your service to the Lord, like that we see in the realm. Then everything's always expanding. So the devotion's expanding, the service is expanding, everything's expanding. The Lord notices them. It's not that he's great and we're small, so he doesn't notice. He always notices them. That's his greatness. He encompasses everything. He notices everything. May there be success of this vow. May we be able to move forward and do things for the Lord. So you can see they're always connected to the Lord. So these are the Vedic sankalpas, everything. So it's very hard to get the ones that'll just be mundane. They may create them like that or choose ones like that. But we see here, these are the recommended ones that are being used. Gadstapana, establishing the auspicious pot. Now we're doing it on time. Okay. By assembling the ghat or water pot with the proper mantras and calling in the Lord, it becomes the form of the Lord which can be worshipped with upacharas, articles such as foot wash, argya lamps, etc., in the manner that one worships the deity. Right? So Gadstapana, this is the form when it says that of the eight deities of the Lord, then establishing in water. This is what we mean by that. It's in a pot. You have water in the pot, and the Lord's established in the water. So the water is the deity, Lord in the form of it coming, you know, is being in the water. The pot may be made of gold, silver, copper, bell metal, stone, or clay, you know, depending on what's there. Those made of clay are suitable for all purposes, but should be unbroken, clean, and only be used once. Right? After that, you may use it for other things, but you won't use it again for the sacrifice. So if you're going to be regularly using, then you want to use from the metal or stone. Once you place either Navaratna, pearl, cat's eye, gomed, diamond, coral, yellow sapphire, emerald, blue sapphire, ruby, or pancharatna, pearl, cat's eye, diamond, sapphire, ruby, or a piece of gold in the water within the pot. Right. The leaves used may be banyan, peepal, mango, or udumbara. Mango leaves are the most commonly used. And the fruit is usually coconut, green with a stem, or ripened with tuft. A banana may also be used, or pomegranate if you have very big ones. Or, you know, any fruit could be used. It just should sit nicely, you know, on the pot. And when it mentions that if it's a green coconut, it's a coconut with the stem on it, you know, with a little sika there. Or if not, if it's it's the ripened coconut, then it's been husked, but you've left the tuft. You don't take the whole thing off. Because when you're opening it, you're going to take off the sides, and the tuft is the last thing to go. So you keep that. Otherwise, for general selling, they break it off. The tuft is the part that's over those little eyes. The ghat should be established in the northeast part of the mandapa, or east of the fire pit. One may draw an eight-petal lotus on the ground, using five-colored dyes, white, red, yellow, black, and green, with paddy in the center, and place the ghat on top of the grain. So you have the drawing of the mandala, and then the lotus, and then you put grains, and it stands on the grains and all that. So generally speaking, most of the pots, they're a little bit rounded on the bottom. So then when you have the grains, it stands nicely. You see only the The Bengali pots like that, it has a particular name. The ones that come, they have a nice shape, kind of like a kamandalu, and then the top one is very big. Most are smaller. It's very wide, and also have these like a collar around it. Those ones, they generally use those for the main pots and other pots for the smaller ones. Or even that, when they have the bottom, they'll sit nicely. But then, you know, these ones that have the round ones, and they put in the grains. Otherwise, you put there and put the grains around. You put some grains and sink it in so it'll stand properly. Then, yeah, and the paddy means it's on husk grain, like that. That's your best. Abahan, calling the deity in pot. One may call Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and first worship with 60 new upacharas, then call Radha and Krishna, worship them with the appropriate upacharas and mantras. So generally that would mean you call Guru first, then like this. Then when you're showing the Ihava, Yatishti, the He, then you're using the, you know, all the different, Gopal mantra, Nyas. So like on the things we use for ourselves, we generally don't use. These, you know, the Ankara Nyas and Anga Nyas. Then worshiping the pot, worship the deity in the pot with 5, 10, or 16 items, using the deity Mula mantras instead of offering worship the Lord in the pot when they worship Shaligram or Murti directly. You can also put the pot and put the leaves, and instead of putting the coconut, put a flat plate that sits nicely in there, and then put Shaligram, you know, on top, and then do the worship like that, can sit like that, or then, you know, or the deity, or you have that, and then you have the deity or the Shaligram in its own place, for worship, and then do that worship there. And so then, you know, the ghat will be installed so that they have that presence, or you don't have the ghat, you have the deities are present. The whole point is the Lord should be there, the Lord is worshiped before you start. Okay, Satvika Vridhi Shraddha, worship the Acharyas and the Mahabhagavatas. One should install the Acharya Parampara in the same pot as used in the Ghatstapana. Oh, I see what they're doing here. They're doing it, that they're doing the Ghatstapana and then, okay. And Sarve Sampradaya, but then you're going to be worshiping the Guru beforehand. If you're doing like this, you're installing them in. Then you're going to be worshiping anyway before you worship Gauranga, and that you have to worship Guru, but that can be not by installing them in the pot. And then with the Satvika Vridhi Shraddha, then they're all installed in the pot. So then you have Sarve Sampradaya Acharyaha. Then you're doing all the Yavai Tishtisani Dehi Sani Rudhi Svasama Bhavala. Then the Anganyas. And then all the, yeah, that, and then Etiganda Pushpe, then you're going to do your Guru, Iskan Pratishtha Acharya. When you use the Iskan Pratishtha Acharya, technically you just can say Pratishtha Acharya because he is the Pratishtha Acharya, the founder Acharya for the Sampradaya, means for the Gaudiya line. We say Iskan because then others don't get bent out of shape. And then so other devotees understand, oh, you're talking about Prabhupada. Because very few actually understand the position of what a founder Acharya is. They just take, oh, he started ISKCON, so he's the founder Acharya. No, he's the founder Acharya. It's a position in the Sampradaya that's used by Lord Chaitanya. Like that. Then Paramagurave Parampara, Mahagurave Parameshti, Sarve Bhyo, Mahanta Guru Bhyo, and Sarva Vaishnava Bhyo. Then you install the 5 Mahabhagavats, Vishvakshinadi, Pancha Mahabhagavata, Ihavahayatishta, like son. Then one should worship them with Chandan, Etikanda Pushpe, then the Vishvakshinaya, Sharnakaya, Sanatanaya, Sanandanaya, Sanat Gumaraya. So you see these are the same personalities that are used in the Yajna, in the Vaishnav Homa. Like that. So it's the same principle, is that, you know, in the Vedic sacrifice, these different groups have to be done. You know, you have to worship Ganesh. You have to worship the 10 directions. You have to worship the 16 Matriganas, the forms of Durga, like this. These are just standard things that are done in the Vedic. So instead of worshiping, the Ganesh, then you're worshiping the Acharyas and, Vishnu, the Vishvakshinadi, Vishwakshena and the 4 Kumaras. Then, instead of the 10 directions, you're doing the Kavayadi. Navi Yogendras, excuse me, nine planets, then 10 directions, excuse me. So then Kaveye, Haveye, Antarikshaya, Prabhudaya, Pipalayanaya, Abhihotraya, Drumilaya, Tramasaya, Karabajanaya. Then the nine Navi Yogendras instead of the nine planets. Right? Then you install the Dikpalas, Naradari, Sarva Dikpale Biha. And then worship them with chandan and flowers. So you have Naradaya, Kapilaya, Yamuna Bhagavataya, Bhishma Devaya, Sukadevaya, Janakaya, Sadashivaya, Prahladaya, Brahmane, Balirajaya, Swayambhuve. One should install the bhakti, right? Yeah, up to Swayambhuva, so there's 10, and then the others will be done when we get to the Vaishnavas. Then the bhakti shaktis and Purnamasyadi, bhakti shaktiha, that's instead of the matriganas. And worship with Gandhan flowers, so Antiganda Pushpe, then Om Purnamasyai Namaha Padmaya, Padmai, Antarangai, Gangai, Yamunayai, Chandra, Valayai, Gangaya, Antarangai, Gayatrai, Talasyai, Sarasvatyai, Prithivyai, Vaishnavyai, Gave, Yashurayai, Devahutyai, Devakyai, Rohinyai, Sitayai, Draupadyai, Kuntyai, and Rukminyai. Yeah, so you see here is that slightly different than the one in the Yajna. Is that I think what there's less? There's four. 20 is here. They're using more in the Yajna because they do all the queens. While here,
Rukmini.
Draupadi, no, yeah, Rukmini, yeah.
Rukmini only.
Yeah, they don't do all the other queens. And you see in this one, Chandravali is mentioned. But she's not mentioned in main one, in the Yajna. Unless that was printing mistake, and that has to be checked. Because it seems that there's a few different forms of it. So they have to find what's the original of the Gopal Bhatta gave. But in any case, then she's mentioned here. And like that. So it's a shorter form, so they can be done nicely. Then install Krishna's shakas in the pot. Sridhamadi, Sarva Gopale, Gopala Ganaha. So then you have Etiganda Pushpe. Then Sridhamne, Sudhamne, Stoka Krishnaya, Lavangaya, Arjunaya, Vasudhamne, Vishalaya, Subalaya, Sri Ramaya, Sri Krishnaya. Then one should call Krishna's shakis in the pot. Om Lalitari, Sarva Shaki, Sarva Shakyaha. Okay. Then you have Lalitayai, Shamalayai, Vishakayai. Right. So here, Shamala, she's a full gopi. She's not part of the Astasaki, but you see, is generally when we're doing these, then she'll be put in between Lalita and Vishaka. She's not one of the Astasaki, but she's a prominent gopi. She's, I think, one of the 108, but she gave up her group and works with Radharani's group. So then she's not counting herself as a head, even though she has her assistants. And so then she's counted so that you see her, that she's respected like Lalita and Vishaka. Then Champakalatayai, Suchitrai, Tungavidyai, Indulekyai, Rangadevyai, and Sudevyai. Right? So the Astasaki. One should take Vishnu Prashad and offer it to the Guru, Acharyas, and Mahabhagavatas. Idam Mahabhashadam Nir Malyadikam. I'm Om Gurve Namaha. Om Sarve Bhyo Mahanta Guru Bhyo Namaha. Om Sarve Bhyo Mahabhagavate Bhyo Namaha. Right? And so then it stops there. It doesn't keep going like we see in the Udicha Karma, the Vaishnava Homa, that then it goes on to, you know, the 10 avatars and the different other avatars, mm-hmm. Manvantara, yeah. But Yuga avatars and all these other forms and all that. So then, you know, it keeps the essence. So you know that this is the most essential part of it, but it keeps it very, very simple.
All right.
Then, yes.
The significance of mudras, we see directly here that, it is just expressing whatever you are saying through a mudra. But what is the significance of nyasas?
Nyasas are how mantras are put on the body in different places. So here you're putting the nyasa, the anga nyasa, on the body of the deity. So you're manifesting the head, the heart, the head, the sika, the overall protection, the eyes, and then, you know, again, protection around. So it's just one of the things where the ones are done. You know, you have on the fingers doing down there, or, you know, we do the same thing. We put all these different places, but we do it on the deities. We don't put it on ourselves like that. It's a bona fide Vaishnava thing, but we only use it on the deities. We don't use it for ourselves.
So essentially, Nyasa means, because other sampradaya is doing on themselves, means they're establishing themselves as in the other four liberation situations, like.
No, not so much that. It's more of a majesty thing. So we don't use it because of these means. In other words, the nyasas on ourselves, kara nyasa, anga nyasa on ourselves, are one of the five items that's not used by the Vaishnavas, that their intent is attaining the Raghunuga platform. So using the nyasas, kara nyasa, anga nyasa on ourselves, using mudras for when you're doing the worship, not for purification, like you see, we're using ahavaha, we're using all the mudras, but we're not using it in the worship. We're not using that, okay, we're going to do the lamp, so then you show the mudra for the lamp, you know, like this, and then you offer the lamp. We don't use those formalities like that. So then the mudras in that way, then the kusa, I think it's the kusa belt.
Kusa ring.
And then the kusa rings. And then the Lakshmi and Dwarka and Rukmini Dhyanams. We don't use those. All other things we use, and they may have their, you know, particular place. We use them for the deities, you know, you put the kurchas and all these different things like that. But we ourselves don't use them. So it's a simple thing.
Okay.
Like that. Like that. So the nyasa means you're putting the mantra on your body. So in that way, because the idea of yoga is you attain the same platform like the Lord. But so they use a little bit more of a mechanistic element, while we use just more than just the consciousness element. You're absorbed in the Lord. So that's why, you know, it said before, is the, you know, just by remembering Krishna, everything's done. Like that. Does that make sense? So it's just a difference in majesty or sweetness. So we may not be on that platform, but we still follow it like that. So that's why when it comes to the worship and all that, then in performance of the worship, there's nothing that we do in Vaidhi Bhakti that the someone in Rag Bhakti won't do. It's already been adjusted. You know, just like in Daiva Varnashram, whatever in Varnashram is usable in devotional service has already been accepted. So therefore, whether you're on Vaidhi or Rag, it's still followed. So this idea that there's this other path, secret path, and there's not, that's just coming from the Sahajiyas. That's just gives them claim to fame. That's all. You know, it's like in the modern political, by being the victim and everything, then that gives your claim to fame. So for the Sahajiyas, that it's a separate path, a secret, unknown path. Yes, yeah, secret and unknown because people don't absorb themselves in Krishna. That's all.
Yes.
It's that simple. Though those who are contaminated by the Sahajiya thing will fight this tooth and nail and no. But absolutely that's not. It's not another path. It's just natural. It's just like the girl growing up, you know, being trained in how to behave as a chaste girl and all the duties that she performs. And then when she hits puberty and now she has an attraction to a boy, that's just the wrong part of the same. All the things she did before is what she's going to use in that mood. In other words, what we're learning is Vaidhi is what we're going to use in Rag. It's just we don't have the mentality. So when the girl comes to puberty, now she has the mentality. So when we come to Rag, now we have the mentality. But this is what we're going to use. This idea, oh, that all goes out the way we're going to do that. Totally bogus. Totally bogus. So what Prabhupada's given us is that we may adjust and put in extra things that may not be necessary. So that you may put in extra things, and then when you get more advanced, you start to reduce it. But what the acharyas give us, that's just the straightforward, that's what they do. You know, if you're doing temple worship, you're doing yajnas, you know, you're doing your own puja and this and that, you want to do it simpler, that's nice. But it should come because you don't want it to disturb the flavor. You don't have the facilities, you don't have the time, so use these like that. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So for us, we don't mechanically put ourselves. It's just like in Vaikuntha, then their form of Swarupya, it's the same, forearm form. The only difference is the Srivatsa. You can't tell the difference. I mean, you can tell, but of course, you can tell by the mood. But the point is they have the same bodily feature. So therefore, putting nyasas on the body, because the nyasa is the deity, and putting that on the body, and so therefore, if you're empowered with that to do service of the Lord, you don't think you become the deity. So it's not ahangopasana. That's what we don't use. Right? So that's right. But but for us, it's the same form, means the same form that matches. So since it's majesty having that form, the Lord is the most majestic, and then his servants are also, you know, so majestic that all matches. But in Vrindavan, then, you know, the cowherd boys, they have their form. That's the perfect form for being the same form as with Krishna to go out into the fields and play when they go out with the cows. You know, the gopis are the perfect form for the conjugal rasa in Vrindavan. Does that make sense? Mother Jashoda, the perfect for the parental rasa. Because in Vaikuntha, they don't have five rasas. They only have two. Yeah? Good?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. So then tomorrow we'll do the Chedi Raj Puja, and then, you know, we may finish this section tomorrow. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.